Podcast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's. Simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, August the 6th. And you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello. How are you?
Look, I've got you something else. I bought you something
from You're not blagging the donuts. Well, Paul bought the donuts. Yeah. I saw him.
Our guest Paul, has brought in not just...
He's bought in all the donuts in the world.
Humongous.
Yeah, huge.
But I bought you some Spanish licorice.
You did indeed.
Well, this, I was talking about farmers markets in Spain and how lovely, and every day in Moreira at sevilla.eu.
Have you been on holiday again, Jules?
Well, I'm back, but I'm going again. I'm doing next week's show. I thought I'll fit that in.
That's kind of you. Pop back for a show now and again and then go back on holiday.
I'm going off on the Wednesday, so I've taken it all into account that I'm here on Tuesday for Scoff and Quaff.
I've never heard of that. What's that then?
Scoff and Quaff, which is a Kent food show.
Oh, is it? Is it any good?
It's showcasing all the Kent businesses, food businesses and farmers markets. It's fabulous, yes. So, anyway, talking about Moreira and seavilla.eu, where
as
you can rent a villa.
Yeah.
Every day there's a market, Paul Andrews.
Is there really?
Yeah. And I bought these for you from a market. Now, do you know what they are? Because you'll never have seen them before.
Nuts.
They're nuts, yes, but you'll
never
see them.
Yeah, but you've conveniently taken the label off, so I can't tell.
Well, they don't have labels.
They look like a form of almond.
That's really clever. They are an almond. How good are you?
Yeah.
Very brownie points. Yeah. But have you ever seen, I've never seen almonds in a shell like that, Paul.
Do you not buy shelled almonds? Well, at Christmas?
Well, no, but they're out of their shell, aren't they, when you get them? Well, I've never seen them like that.
Have you never seen almonds in a shell?
Maybe I have. What, in those selections? In those selections? With Brazil nuts and things.
Cool.
And those little hazelnuts.
Cool.
So do they have them in those?
If you buy them loose, they come in their shells.
Shall I have them back then?
Do you know that walnuts come in shells as well?
Yeah.
Do you know chestnuts have a skin on?
They come off a tree.
Do you know peanuts are covered in fur?
No.
I slipped that one in just to check.
No, they're not. But walnuts come off a tree, don't they?
Walnuts, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a walnut tree in my garden, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, it only flowers every 2 years.
Well, it's not really the flowers you need, though, is it?
Yeah, it is. That's the bit that grows.
And then you get the nut out of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't. The squirrels do.
Is that where your fat squirrel comes into?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm.
And then he hibernates for a year until it biannually produces more walnuts.
Tell you what, though, Paul.
Yeah.
Doesn't this weather make, this humid weather make your hair frizz?
Mine. Can't do a thing with it.
Really,
I got up
frizzy
this morning and I thought, oh, no, not again.
I thought that.
Yeah.
Very frizzy.
Yeah,
it's the humidity, you know.
Yeah, I know. Can't do anything with it.
So you don't like the nuts, then?
No, I love the nuts.
They're old hat.
I love the nuts, but I did recognise them instantly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did.
To be fair,
I was amazed.
Anyway, enough of that. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. You can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. You can send me an email at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But the most likely way to get on air right now is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we'd love to hear from you. We've already had a few dozen tweets
coming in.
So I'll kick off with some tweets, I think.
Do.
We've had Alsford Farmers Market and Lee Bennett, who also works at Alsford Priory there, which is where the Alsford Farmers Market takes place. And that's a new local farmers market, isn't it?
They've
only just done the first one, haven't they? A couple of Sundays back.
Yeah. And it's going very, very well.
I'm not surprised. It's a great location.
I mean, there's the Tunbridge, and there's Elm Court, and then Alsford Priory one, which is great.
But Ale Surprise I'm really made up about, because that's a fan. I mean, I know the other two are really good, but Ale Surprise is a stonking location for a farmer's fair.
I haven't been yet. I must go.
No, you must go. It's really good. So thanks to Ale Farmer's Market and to Lee Bennett for that. We've also had a new listener and that's asked for a tweet, and that's the Checkers Inn at Kemsing over near Sevenoaks there.
All right.
And that's a pub restaurant. Ooh. So, hi guys, thanks for listening.
Hello.
Great to hear from you. And also, kentvenues.co.uk is listening into the show. So thank you, Paul, and the folks at Kent Venues. If you want to find anywhere to hold anything like a party or a wedding or any kind of event, then kentvenues.co.uk is the place to go and look.
Well, they also need to contact at Scoff Goff, don't they? As
for
it's
what?
A food show, Kent Venues.
For food?
Yeah.
Oh, Kent Venues. Yeah, no, absolutely.
We've also had heard from the lovely Whitstable Stove Shop there, who are putting in your wood burners ready for the winter of 2013.
That would be Mark Smith, would it?
That is Mark Smith and Ian. And they're saying, I wonder what Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin have got up their sleeves at 1 p.m. Not a lot, because I haven't got sleeves, actually.
Sleeveless we are, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we are sleeveless. Mm. So nothing up.
Paul's got sleeves.
Yes. Paul has. He's the only one.
Nothing up them, though.
So. Like a magician. Maybe a white rabbit. Why is blogging so important? Business Community Breakfast coming up here. Uh-huh. It's this Thursday, the 8th of August. Leading copywriter Leslie Morrissey will be speaking on the subject, blogging for business. And Leslie has had a distinguished career and learnt the tricks of the trade from leading advertising agencies like J. Walter Thompson. And she's saying that these guys were experts at getting people to read their copy. They changed things I'd done during the paste-up process, and I wanted to know why. And I began to learn about how people read and found it fascinating, and I'm still learning. The breakfast is at Gillingham Golf Club. It starts at 7:30 a.m. and it costs £12.50 if paid in advance, or £15 on the day. Now, to book this, you can go onto www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. And if you'd like a copy of your company on a rolling display, please send your copy to Alex at f-keys.co.uk as soon as possible. And so that's from the lovely Ken Wheeler, who's a regular listener. Thank you for that, Ken. That's the Business Community Breakfast this Thursday the 8th. And it's www.businesscommunitybreakfast with Leslie Morrissey. Thank you for that.
That's cool. I've been to some of those over at Gillingham Golf Course, and they're a stonkingly good event.
I should go, really.
Yeah, it's early. It's early, so
I used to do BNI for a year and a half.
I know, but I don't do early breakfast networking because it's too early. But yeah. I did go to that one. Well, and it was good.
I do like them, but it's just by 11 o'clock, you feel like you've done a whole day, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, no, I just go home after them.
Do you?
Yeah.
And just snuggle down with a sheep?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I've got this that I want to...
Well, I go home after them, but then I try and work, and then I just, look at the clock and feel it's like midnight, and I have to have about 85 coffees to get through the day.
You turn back into a pumpkin.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
ZC Social Media... have got a summer special, Paul Andrews.
How fabulous.
Took the words right out of your mouth.
You did. I was just about to read an email.
You paused.
Fatal ran here. take a draw for breath.
You do know pause on radio, though. It's like an hour.
Yeah.
So anyway, ZC, that's Zoe Ken's social media summer special. It's the first birthday of her academy. And she says, hope you're all well and enjoying this amazing weather we're having. Well, our hair is getting affected today. We're getting, frizzy. I'm back from my tour travelling the Black Country, Leicester, Wolverhampton and Manchester, speaking to various groups of people and companies, and it's all very exciting. We're having a summer special event for the Zoe Cairns Social Media Academy, and we'd love you all to come along. It's on the 14th of August at Priestfields in Gillingham. Power Team can purchase stands. Attendees there are free batches of tickets for people who haven't been before. So if you've got a group of people you'd like to attend who've never experienced the Academy, let me know. And she'll be presenting on social media content, going through your strategy plan for your social media. Every attendee will be receiving the strategy template and a checklist worth over £349. Okay, so you need to go to Zoe Cairns social media summer special .eventbrite, or just look for her on Facebook. She'll be there, Zoe Cairns, social media. You can email if you want to. It's info@zcsocialmedia.com. Thank you, Zoe, for that. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
What have you got, Paul Andrews?
I've got this, and it's really important because this guy is an epic hero in my view, Michael Smith. In 2009 and 2011, I walked a stupidly long way to raise money for the Meningitis Trust and for Royal National Lifeboat Institute. I've written a book about my adventures called Walking the Garden. The first walk took place in July 2009, a 90-kilometre trek around the Kent Loop of the North Downs Way in support of the Meningitis Trust. The second event, an epic 220-kilometre adventure around the Kent coast. So Michael walked right around the Kent coast from start to finish.
Amazing.
Starting in Gravesend and finishing in Dungeness. He's written a book about his adventures that has photographs. Michael's a great photographer as well, and a great supporter of the countryside and the seashore and all that kind of stuff. And he's now written a book about that walk and his adventures and the Kent countryside and the seashore. And the book is available to buy as a Kindle book on Amazon for £2.22. And there are also a few limited paperback copies available for £3.50. And you can find out all about them at his website, which is Michael's Eye View, E-Y-E, View, Michael's Eye View, all one word, .co.uk. I will put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you want to find out about his book, A Walk, Walk in the Garden, then you will be able to do so by looking on our website.
He went near Sheppey. I think he actually went on to Sheppey, didn't he? He went all around the coastline, didn't he?
He's mad.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Some people like Sheppey.
Yeah. No, he just likes walking. He just walks and walks
and
walks.
How many shoes and blisters and things he
got. Yeah, no, he doesn't do that.
I expect you have to read the book to find out.
Absolutely. I've got a bit of news that I want to share with you now. It's a bit long-winded, but it is important for employers out there. Mm-hmm. Employment law changes are coming into force from the 29th of July this year. A raft of new employment laws. Hey, what would we do without politicians creating new laws? We wouldn't know where to go, would we?
No, exactly. Yeah. They sit there thinking them all up.
Is this a bonfire on a quenga? No. Oh, well, whatever. a raft of new employment law measures came into force on the 29th of July. Some of them are as follows. Compromise agreements will be renamed settlement agreements. The use of these will be facilitated by new rules in relation to pre-termination negotiations. Wow. Pre-termination negotiations will become inadmissible in ordinary unfair dismissal proceedings. There's a new section 111A of the Employment Rights Act 1996 that provides that any offer made or discussions held with a view to terminating an employee's employment on agreed terms under a settlement agreement will be inadmissible in evidence before an employment tribunal in any subsequent ordinary unfair dismissal claim. This goes further than the existing without prejudice rule, as it applies even where there is no pre-existing employment dispute between employer and employee.
Breathe.
I know. The statutory provision will be supported by a new statutory ACAS code of practice on settlement agreements, together with non-statutory additional ACAS guidance. And they wonder why people don't like starting businesses. That's amazing, isn't
it? I know.
Yeah. Employment tribunal fees will be introduced. Claimants who issue a claim against their employer in the employment tribunal will be required to pay a fee for issue of the claim, and then a further fee if the claim proceeds to a hearing. The amount of the fee is dependent on the type of claim or claims being made, and the civil court's fee remission system will apply to protect access to justice for those who cannot afford to pay the fee. Fees will also be payable in relation to certain other employment tribunal applications, and these fees are payable by whichever party makes the application. So that's basically a change in the law. If an employee takes an employer to an industrial tribunal, in the past, there was no costs associated. What they are saying is there's now going to be a small cost associated to actually going to a tribunal, unless you haven't got any money, and then you get it for nothing anyway.
Mm. Well, yeah, but that's always the case, isn't it? If you haven't got the money, then you get legal aid anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
So who do we know, which of our legal business bunker guests that we've had on in the past could come on and talk about that?
Oh, that would be Pam Locke from Locke Associates, the legal HR specialist.
Yeah, she'd be good.
There's also a reduced cap on the unfair dismissal compensatory award, which will come into force. This will limit the unfair dismissal compensatory award to the lower of the existing £74,000 200 cap or 52 weeks pay.
That's what you had last winter, I remember, a reduced cap.
Did I?
Well, because you wouldn't wear a hat, would you? When it was freezing. Don't you remember when I came in my trilby and you said, oh, I like your hat, and then you wouldn't wear one. You had a reduced cap.
Yeah. See, the government go to all this trouble to produce this legislation and it just goes completely over your head, doesn't it?
On my head, maybe.
On my head, son.
Yeah. Nice trilby would suit you.
Last thing out of this long-winded new set of regulations.
I might have to have a donut if it goes on.
Interest on unpaid employment tribunal awards will accrue from an earlier date. Interest on unpaid employment tribunal awards will accrue from the day after the relevant decision is made, except where the full award amount is paid within 14 days. So there's a whole raft of employment law changes. Probably the best place to look is, if you remember, is to go to either the Federation of Small Business or the Institute of Directors. Both of those organisations will have access to that legislation if you want to look at it in any more detail.
It is a minefield being an employer, though, isn't it? Because people are getting very wily now, aren't they, about things?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not averse to protecting people in their employment, but, you know, it's only fair.
Yeah.
But the problem is that politician after politician after politician claims before election that there will be a bonfire of red tape, and then the minute they get elected they just go mad and start introducing laws all over the place.
This latest
coalition government has issued 201 I'll say that again 201 new tax regulations alone.
So what
kind of red tape bonfire is that then?
Exactly.
You know, it just doesn't happen. And the problem is, I believe in one in, one out. If you're going to write a new law, remove an old one. But what happens is all the old laws stay on the statute book and you have to comply with them, even if some of them are completely irrelevant. You know, like you have to give your employees a free cannonball in, you know, every time Nelson sails home from Trafalgar or something. Yeah. You know, and it's
that's
just
a good one.
Yeah, it's true that. I didn't make it up at all.
No, I didn't think you did.
And that's the stupidity of it. It makes life complicated because you've got all this legislation hanging around that hasn't been tidied up.
But I knew a 17-year-old who I can't name, and he's doing some summer work, and he was driving all the way to Tunbridge Wells in his car, not being paid very much, and he's qualified for the job he's doing and has done all the exams and everything. And then he was not given... he wasn't paid for his lunch hour, which was half hour. He wasn't given any breaks at all in the day, and he was actually in charge of saving people's lives. He was lifeguarding.
Right.
You know, so if you nod off because you haven't had a lunch break or... So he was having half an hour to ram his sandwich down, unpaid, but no break in the morning or in the afternoon, and not being paid properly. And I made him stand up for himself, and he got a pay rise, and they were pulling a fast one.
No, you do. I mean, as I said earlier, I'm fully on board with worker protection. It's there for a reason. But, you know, you've also got to play both sides of it.
Of course you have.
You know, I could rant about this all day, and I'm not going to, but it's one of the things that politicians do, is they don't think about balancing things out, and they don't ever think about the laws of unintended consequences. They pass a regulation for something that has a knock-on consequence.
Knee-jerk.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
I'm going to pay a bit of tunage.
And who have you got?
Brown Eyed Girl.
Oh.
When the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running, hey, hey, skipping and jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts a thumping, and you, a brown eyed girl, and you. And whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow? Gone down the old man with a transistor radio. Standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall. Slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you, a brown eyed girl. We used to sing, sha la 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 la. just like that. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Serkin. That was a bit of Van Morrison and Brown Eyed Girl. Quite nice for a summer's afternoon.
I think you pinched that from my playlist, actually.
Yeah, you played a bit of Van Morrison on your little show thingy, didn't you, as well?
My thingy. I played Gloria.
Did you?
G-L-O-R-I-A.
I wasn't listening.
No, you were too busy making gestures through the glass. I saw you. I had to hide. Did you see?
Yeah.
I had to hide like that.
I know.
Like that listener. Yeah. Let's do that listener.
They can tell. They can tell what you're doing. Hey, listen. We're going to speak to our first studio guest now.
Yes, the one who bringeth the donuts.
Yeah. And for quite a while now, it's been getting on my nerves that lots of people keep coming up to me and saying, following the financial crash, da, 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 the problem with this country is that all we ever do now is banking and we don't make anything anymore. Nothing could be further from the truth. One of the reasons it makes me angry is because people always look to the past. They don't understand that life's an evolution and business is an evolution and things change. And when they say we don't make anything anymore, what they're thinking of is 50,000 people working at Longbridge nailing wind mirrors on car doors. Well, of course, we have robots that do that kind of stuff now.
Oh, I do want a Zephyr.
Yeah. And the fact is that the UK is the world's seventh largest manufacturing nation. 95% of all mobile phone internals, including Apple iPhone, are manufactured under licence in the United Kingdom.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And the intellectual property is the valuable bit of all this. Sticking it together is not the valuable bit of all of this, in terms of mobile phones. And it was really interesting. So I was really pleased that Paul wanted to come on the show again, because Paul runs a local manufacturing business in the Medway Towns, manufacturing stuff in the Medway Towns, because there's also another myth that everything manufactured is made in the Far East. And it suddenly struck me, just like a lot of other things we do, the BBC got wind of what we were going to do and have been running a little campaign just recently. So I don't know if you saw on Top Gear, the last episode of Top Gear, did a whole section at the end on vehicle manufacturing. And they lined up all the vehicles that are manufactured in the United Kingdom down the Mall. And it was a staggering amount of vehicles that are made in the United Kingdom, to the point where it turns out we physically make in the UK more vehicles than the Germans make cars.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we know about this then?
Well, that's the point. It isn't that we don't do it. It's that people don't know about it, because the press don't talk about it, because they're busy killing bankers or whatever.
But it's always news when a factory closes down, isn't it?
Exactly.
And you never hear about.
That is the entire problem. They only, the media on the whole wants to talk about problems and things failing and not working. They don't want to do we're really good at doing X, Y and Z, because there's no interest story in it, they think. Hence the Business Bunker Show, obviously, because we do it the other way around.
So we make Honda here, don't we?
Yeah, it's all kind of things. I'll tell you something else, which is another... I'm going to let Paul get a word in a minute. But another thing that really kind of annoying me when people talk about things like exporting stuff. And a lot of people are trying to make out that if we change their relationship with the European Union, that they wouldn't buy anything from us anymore. It's just plain nonsense. Mm. But one of the things that some people said is, you know, a lot of people only set up like car factories here to sell into the European Union. And I was staggered when I found this out. The Toyota factory, that's Toyota, the Japanese car manufacturer, has a factory in Derbyshire. And 80% of their output goes where, do you think? They make cars. They make whole cars there. Where do you think they ship the cars to?
Japan.
Japan.
Gosh.
80% of all the cars made in Derbyshire are sent back to Japan.
That's incredible.
That's just stunkingly amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Good. So how is that financially workable?
I don't know. I mean, you have to go and look at their figures, but I mean, it shall obviously
we?
Is.
Let's it, nip over.
But it is. It isn't just.
I can speak Japanese actually, so I could get kampai, kampai.
That will be some form of alcoholic drink, I would guess.
Yeah, it's cheers actually.
Yeah, I see.
How did you guess?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, those kind of issues. It's like the Ford plant at Dagenham. 80%. It's always 80%, isn't it? There's some kind of rule about that, isn't there? 80-20. 80% of all Ford engines globally are made in Dagenham.
Stunned silence.
Yeah.
Come on, Paul.
Yeah.
Back
anyway.
Help me. Help
no,
me.
No. I'm just telling you. So we make stuff. And so it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Paul Gardner, Managing Director of Component Force,
who really actually does make stuff.
Yes,
rubbery
other,
bits.
Other than us just talking about it. Yeah. Paul, welcome back onto the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much. Hi, Paul, and hi, Jules.
Hello.
So I was keeping quiet and behaving myself, you see. I didn't want to interrupt.
Yes, unlike last time.
He's now going to go, well, that was a load of old rubbish, and now I'm going to tell you what's really happening.
But first of all, he did say what a lovely studio we're in now compared with the old place.
It is very nice, very posh, and all, you know, all nice and neat and tidy, and not as hot as the last one as well, which is lovely.
Yeah, because the last one was pretty tiny, wasn't it? It was like, you know, it aspired to be a broom cupboard one day.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, it's great. It's great to see you guys, you know, moving forward and things growing, obviously, which is
fantastic. And thank you for coming back on the show. Thank you for
Paul
bringing...
Paul Andrews has been growing.
Has he?
Yes.
Actually, he's been telling me he's been shrinking.
Exactly, yeah. So don't listen to her.
1.5 stone of shrinking.
Oh, I have, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and, except Paul's bought donuts in now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I've also, I just need to read this because we've had a tweet.
Yeah.
From James.
Right, okay, my brother,
yep. Yeah, James Gardner, who is, I'm in our USA office at the moment, listening to the Business Bunker show.
Wow.
So, hiya, James.
Yeah. Cool. Hi, bro.
I wonder what time it is there, then.
He's 6 hours behind us, so he will be, what's that, about half past five?
He's good.
So he's having breakfast.
He is, yeah.
So he's on the East Coast, then, yeah.
And they're sort of, well, we're sort of mid, really. It's gateway to the West, St. Louis and Missouri.
Oh, St. Louis. St. Louis, Missouri.
Yep,
I know the song well. Yeah.
That's
is that crocodile country in the swamps?
No.
No,
is it
I don't think so.
What am I thinking
more,
of?
You're thinking of down New Orleans way.
Am I?
Or down to the Everglades.
Yeah.
And they're not crocodiles, they're alligators.
Oh, well.
There's a few sharks over there, Jules.
Are
not,
they?
Not crocodiles.
But not
those.
So,
yeah.
But no, good morning. It's nice to hear from my brother, isn't it?
Absolutely. Lovely. Yeah. And he's got up, especially to listen to you.
Set his alarm.
That's fantastic. He's probably still up, actually, from...
From the night before,
Is he the younger or the...
He's younger than me. James is 12 years younger than me. So, but we've worked together pretty much from when the company started in 2000. So,
any sisters?
No, just one other brother, Pete, who is 2 years younger than me.
Oh, so, wow. Three boys.
Yeah.
So tell us about the business. You started it in 2000, did you say?
Yeah, we started in 2000 from my wife's dressing table in my house in Bearsted, where we lived there.
Right.
It's one of those sort of stories, fantastic story. And we didn't have a desk or a study at the time, so I set up a computer, an extra phone line and a fax line at the time. On my wife's dressing table, much to her annoyance, and we grew the company from there.
So what did you start off doing?
We started off with pretty much buying in plastic components and then selling them out to manufacturing or assembly companies around the UK.
Right.
And like you said, I mean, I learnt a lot earlier about the amount of manufacturers here, but we're aware there are a lot, and they tend to be maybe slightly smaller than they were years ago.
That's the difference,
maybe,
isn't
why
it?
They're not so prominent.
Exactly the difference.
But,
yeah.
So we started off doing that, and then as we grew, people wanted, you know, sort of custom parts or something a bit more specialised, slightly different to the norm, and so then we started to manufacture, and we went into our first farm building, which was no running water, no toilets, you know, all that sort of usual story, and
Can I ask? Did you personally have a background in manufacturing? So is it something you'd actually done, you know, in a corporate setting or somebody else before?
I think really it comes from my father. I'd have to thank him. From when we were younger, we were always tinkering with cars and mowers and you know, sort of bit of engineering or woodwork or whatever, which was really common then. I mean, people don't tend to do it.
They don't do it now, but
So I really liked making things, putting things together. And then I did work for a plastic moulding company as well. The company I worked for only did one type of moulding, and the idea that I came up with, or the niche, was really that what I'd found was that people who use plastic mouldings aren't really interested in how they're made, or, you know, the process, the type of materials, all the technical sort of geeky stuff. So we came up with an idea where we would supply a range of products that would meet a customer's requirements without them having to worry about whether it's injection moulded or compression moulded or blow moulded or whatever.
Right.
It took away that technical side, and we just helped to solve problems.
Just want fork handles.
That was really funny. We listened to that again. It was really good. So that and the Speedos last week was really... Actually, I bought something, maybe an example of one of the mouldings that we manufacture. I wonder
down jewels.
With your Speedos, whether that would help at all. But just in case, I didn't know, I've got a small, hang on Jules, I've got a smaller version as well for you. I wasn't sure.
Now listener, this is very suggestive. Paul Gardner has got a great big green thing. It looks like one of those ice lollies, doesn't it?
I think it's supposed to be a candle, isn't it? It's a full candle.
It's a full candle.
I should have bought four candles, I know, so I'm really sorry. But so I thought I'd bring those as an example.
Fantastic.
Of something that we've manufactured. Being a bit naughty there, sorry. And then we grew, carrying on the story, I guess, we grew from one farm building. We moved into another one which had a little tea room and a toilet. And was, you know, very luxurious compared to what we had before. And then we grew into the buildings either side of that. And then we continued to grow. And in 2009, looked for our own building, a freehold, to the place in Rochester that we've got now. Which is about 20,000 square feet. Acre and a bit site, something like that, to give people an idea of the size.
And how many people do you have working there now?
We've got 40... About 40 in Rochester and another 10 in America.
Okay. Wow. Do you manufacture in the US, or is it primarily sales and shipping?
It's just a warehouse and a sales office.
Right.
We've got two guys in an office in Mexico and then 8 in America. And then products that they sell there are either made at our factory in Rochester here, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
obviously,
brilliant.
We're shipping them over there. Or we do make some stuff in the Far East.
Right.
Unfortunately, we can't do it. I know, noticed your comment earlier about that, but unfortunately, that's the nature of
what we do. Sometimes it just makes sense.
The good news is, over the next 5 years, we've just put in a business plan, and we plan to grow our manufacturing in the UK to 50% of everything we sell here.
Really?
So we are increasing what we're doing. We're investing in new machinery. We invested quite heavily last year.
Fantastic.
We're doing more, and we're going to be making more in the UK. And we are actually getting more competitive against the Far East, which, because of shipping costs and other factors.
As Jules was intimating, shipping things backwards and forwards can become expensive.
Also, often, without being rude, the quality of stuff that's made over here, in my opinion, sometimes.
It is, but I mean, the Chinese are getting very good at what they do. You know, they've obviously invested a lot, and they've been doing it for quite a while now. So the quality is, it depends. You have to be careful who you deal with out there. That's the problem.
Yeah.
A lot of the time you can, end up with the wrong people or whatever. But wrong people, yes. But generally they are they're doing things quite well now. But the philosophy over there in China is that you make something as cheaply as possible, and you only spend more money on a better quality material or better manufacturing process if you really have to. Mm. Whereas here in the UK, we tend to look at something and build it or even over-specify it slightly so that it is a good quality item. And that's the difference in thinking that we've experienced.
Absolutely. And funnily enough, the Top Gear programme, when they were looking at manufacturing, it wasn't just cars they were looking at. It's like they had a map of J.C. Bamford, the big plant of movement equipment. And there isn't a single country, there's 192 countries in the world, and there isn't a single country that hasn't bought a JCB product in the last year.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And they're all made here.
Yeah.
But they have other manufacturing plants around the world, but primarily they're made here.
But the funny thing was, I used to work there many years ago. As a fill-in job. I worked on the production line at Roaster, I think is how you pronounce it.
Right.
And sort of like the head office there.
Right.
And so, yeah, I've got some personal experience of that.
And
a great company and amazing what they've done. So
But one of the points they were making was that a lot of the reason that stuff is made here, even if it's owned by foreign companies that are based here, is the quality of the manufacturing that we do. It's very high quality manufacturing.
And possibly customer service too, if anything did go wrong, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you want to see the ultimate of that, if you look at an industry like Formula One racing, there are 11 Formula One cars, teams, and 7 of them are based in the UK from their manufacturing point of view.
Yeah.
And interestingly, because I happen to know this, IndyCars, which is the American version of it, every single IndyCar on the track was made in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
What's an IndyCar?
They're similar to Formula One, but they only go round circles.
Yeah. Any Zephyrs?
No, there's no Zephyrs.
I'm looking for a Zephyr.
No. Lots of Routes and Lolas and Penskas and all kinds of things
but
like
no
that,
Zephyrs.
But no Zephyrs, no. Mm.
Do you take on or work in any apprentice schemes at all?
We've got, at the moment, we've got 3 apprentices. Our plan is that we're going to expand our workforce in the UK by around sort of 40 to 50 people on our new business plan that we're finalising at the moment. Mm. And some of those will be apprentices. But like I say, we've already got 3 and they're working out really well.
Cool.
And actually, in case they're listening, they're really great. So.
Yeah, they're really good. Keep working.
What's their names?
Their names, we've got Emily, Louise and Kerry.
Brilliant.
So three girls.
Actually, that's amazing.
Can't girls work?
Yeah.
they're really great, and it's a great way of getting youngsters' experience.
Yeah,
and, they're not always young; they can be any age these days. But they're working out well for us, and we're really pleased.
Cool. I want to come back to your product list and stuff like that because thank you.
That's already out on Twitter, by the way.
If
you're wondering what Paul's waving, Paul Gardner, it's a big green thing, fork handle. Little boots.
Oh wow, cool! It's got loads of plastic doodads here. I told you they made plastic doodads, didn't they?
Yes.
In terms of your product range, do people come to you and go, could you make us one of these and give you completely off-the-wall things to make? Is that how you expand things, or does that not happen very often?
We have a mixture, really. I mean, our core business is we have about 10,000 standard products.
Right, okay.
And they're things like little rubber, plastic feet, caps, grips, bungs, that type of
thing. I've already ordered some for my villa in Spain.
What, grommets?
No, for my washing up, what's it called, a drainer. I've got a metal drainer. And one of the little black feet has come off. And it doesn't sound dramatic, does it? But honestly, it's making my draining board all rusty.
Oh, right, okay.
And I've got rather attached to it. So there you are, I'm going to order some.
Right. Can I just mention that there's a reason, because the little feet are very, very, they're not very expensive. That's why Jules has got a place in Spain and I'm supplying the feet for it.
Yeah, exactly.
He said he'll go out to Spain and fit it for me.
Yeah, I did.
At sevilla.eu.
To answer your question, we have a range of standard products. We keep a lot of those in stock. So our business really is modelled a bit like a Screwfix of the plastics world. So we're into small volume orders delivered very quickly from stock, and we have a massive range of standard products that we should be able to solve most needs from the stock or from that range.
Right.
But we also have a lot of customers who ask us to make custom products.
Right.
Sometimes it's a variation on a theme, so it might be something like one of the hand grips I bought in today. Mm. They might want a different colour or a different size or shape or something.
Yeah.
And often we do a lot of custom work as well. So somebody will come to us with a completely new idea and say, even sometimes written on a piece of, sketched on a bit of paper or something, and Paul, can you make this, and it's, it's really exciting and... And we really enjoy, working on those sort of products.
And just because I'm interested in such things, your own internal kind of research and development, do you look around the market and go, that looks an interesting product. We could make that cheaper, better, faster.
To be honest, Paul, most of them are copying us, I'd say.
Are they? Really? No, I think it's
It's funny, actually. We've got some really large competitors, and they do copy what we do quite a lot. It's interesting, which makes us think we're doing something right. But I suppose it depends. I mean, we tend to go for the sort of finishing products, so like the caps and grips and feet. We don't tend to go too far out of that. So it's normally a version of that.
Okay.
Very often we're innovating rather than following.
Okay. Something, so. And I want to ask you this. You might give me a slap, but
I can't reach you.
I did work that out.
Is that why I'm in this cage?
Yeah, exactly. 3D printing.
Yep.
What's your thoughts and feelings on where we are with that in a moment?
I think 3D printing is a very good question, and it is something we've got our eye on, and I think it will be something in the future that affects our smaller sort of order category, as it were. And at the moment, 3D printing is quite expensive.
Bit gimmicky at the moment.
It's a little bit clunky. It's a bit like when colour laser printers first came out. Yeah. You know, you could buy one for like £10,000 or something, and... You know, it costs a fortune to make anything. So at the moment, I don't think it'll bother us. It's on our radar. And actually, we're already embracing that technology for sampling and doing prototypes, like you mentioned earlier. If people want to see a product. The problem with 3D printing we've got at the moment is that the materials are very hard.
Right.
A lot of the products we make are slightly flexible.
Yep.
So if you make something that's hard, almost like a resin type of hardness, it's quite difficult to get a true representation of how it fits onto a product, how it's going to work, what it's going to feel like. You know, particularly like on a grip or something, that's key.
Yeah.
At the moment it's not a threat, but I think as that technology advances, I think it will be something we'll embrace it. I mean, I think it's great.
Yeah.
So, and actually, what people don't realise is it's not just the printing; it looks easy. It's the designing of the product.
Absolutely.
With the software, you know, the CAD software, whatever. That's the hard bit. So.
Absolutely, and that is the bit that people don't understand about manufacturing. Is there's a massive intellectual element, there's a massive service element, and a lot of the value is in the intellectual property of designing programs and templates and all those kind of things. And a lot of people overlook that. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that I've seen, and it's one of my pet subjects about the move from big to small, is that big businesses are finding it harder and harder to compete with smaller businesses, because smaller businesses are far more nimble and can do things using technology that don't require 15 committee meetings to think it through. And one of the things you're finding is a lot of manufacturing businesses now are far smaller than they were, but far more profitable.
Yep.
Because it's the intellectual bit of it that's really valuable.
And I think that flexibility, you know, you haven't got to wait for a shareholder in America or something to make a decision for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we can make decisions, we can invest in new tooling. You know, people don't realise even a small product, you know, like this can cost a lot of money to create a tool for. And we do have ways around that. But, there is a lot of work that takes place before you see a very small plastic item.
But
we're working hard. We're growing. We grew nearly 30% on turnover last year.
Fantastic. And in the circumstances that we're in, economically, that is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, we sort of almost expect that. You know, we've got that mindset that we're there to grow. We've got targets in place. We've got things we want to achieve for the company and for the people that work there. And we're really pushing to achieve that, and we've also been recognised for it with our award, which is what started this.
Absolutely,
award,
so, yes, you won the Kiba Award. So just tell our listener about and that's James.
That's James.
Tell them the awards you won.
Okay, well, in the last few months we've won for the Red Ribbon Awards, which they're a national family business place award. We were commended for excellence in international business, so that was good. But the one that we're really proud of was we won the Kiba SME of the Year 2013,
which
is fantastic. We're actually entered in two categories, one for international success in international markets and the other one for the SME of the Year And we really thought, you know, when you get it in your mind that you're going to win one, we really thought we'd won the success in international markets because of our expansion in America. And when we didn't get that, we were gutted. You know,
right,
we thought, we'll never win SME. Yeah. It's such a highly contested sort of category. And so when we got that, we were really over the moon. And it's been fantastic since then. And lots of interest and lots of people contacting us. And,
fantastic.
Raised our profile, which is brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Which is a lot of what it's all about in winning those awards. Yeah. Brilliant.
Can Paul, I ask? Sorry, Paul.
No problem.
Can I ask which exhibitions you go to internationally and in the UK?
We don't. Do any international exhibitions at the moment,
right.
But in the UK we go to the closest one to here would be the manufacturing show in Farnborough,
right.
Which is it's called the Manufacturing Expo, I think they call it now. But that's quite a good show for us. Apart from that, a lot of our marketing is done through other traditional channels. The exhibitions, I don't know, in this country we struggle with them, to be honest. We struggle to justify, you know, that return, but and then for us to go international at our size, it's quite difficult. So I know there is some support available, but it's not really not something we've done yet.
You'll have to go on the Made in Kent website as well if you're not already on it.
I think we're already.
Oh, you are.
Yeah,
well
yeah,
done.
I think so. Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah,
cool.
Which is really good.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. As always, absolutely a pleasure to hear from you. Many, many congratulations on your well-deserved award.
Thank you.
Congratulations on just growing a business in these economic times. That's fantastic
30%.
News. Yeah, I know. It's
fabulous.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. All power to you. Give us a shout for your website and any Twitter handles or anything you want to put out there.
Okay, well, the company website is www.component, which is N-E-N-T at the end, -force, F-O-R-C-E, .co.uk. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, if you're crazy enough to do that, Twitter is Component Force M, the capital M, as in, I don't know what it's
Mother.
For, actually. Mother. Yeah, there you go. And what I'm trying to do on Twitter, something different to what everybody else does, rather than saying, oh, we're doing these new plastic things, or we're doing 3D printing, or we're doing it, I'm trying to do sort of like being able to follow the life of an MD. So I find it quite difficult to share all these things, but I'm trying to sort of show people what I get up to, and, you know, an MD of a plastic moulding company in Rochester, if you want to be... see a bit of a fly on the wall, a bit nosy, and see what I'm up to. I'm trying to be really honest
Brilliant.
And open on there.
That's a good idea.
And see what you think. So
yeah. We were going to do one on jewels, but the police come and banned it.
Yeah.
So you remember I went round with that meerkat. He tailed me once. That was interesting.
No, it wasn't.
Was it?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. Trust me, it wasn't. Trust me, don't encourage it.
At Meerkat View, you can follow him. But he shadowed me and went... to all my meetings and things, and came in and presented a show. Had a crush on Paul Andrews. That's why he doesn't like it.
It was threatened. Felt threatened. But thank you, Paul.
No, thank you, Paul. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you again. Do stay with us for the rest
thank
of the show.
Paul. No, thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Jules.
Yeah.
The Paul Show.
Hi, Bruce. Welcome to the University of Wollongong. We're all called Bruce here. Paul, thank you so much for that. It's an absolute pleasure to hear from you, and all power to your elbow, and keep on keeping on, keeping up Kent and UK manufacturing.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Good. I think we'll do... I'm getting well behind with the tweets. We've got loads of emails, and we've got another guest that we need to talk to fairly shortly. So you can do an email while I gather me Twitter.
We've got a welcome to the Federation of Small Business update on events and activities that might help you and your business, Bunker listeners. The North Kent branch has a business clinic. That's at the Innovation Centre in Medway, Chatham. If you've got a sat-nav, it's M for Mother, E... 5, 9, F for Freddie, D for Doris. Tuesday, it's 13th of August. That's next Tuesday. It's at 5:15 to 7, and the guest speaker will be James Hefferman. And James, the expert on blogging, I think that must be expert, actually, on blogging, and making your business known to the social media platforms and a website, a night not to be missed. It's a free event. You need to book, and there's a light buffet provided. It's at www.northkentblogging.eventbrite.com. And then we've also got the South Kent Annual General Meeting, which is at the Elwick Club, Ashford. That's TN231RD for dog. Tuesday the 22nd of October, and that's at 6:30 p.m. If you want to book, please contact Sue Waldock on 01622 688134, or you can email office business@kent.fsb.org.uk, and we will of course put all these details on the Business Bunker after the show on their website, but they've got lots of guest speakers, so have a look on their website.
Cool, thank you for that. We've had a tweet from Temporarily U1, that's number one, Temporarily U1, who says, "Hi Paul, any chance you can give our charity fundraising efforts a mention?" And they are raising funds on behalf of the Children with AIDS charity. And their website is cwac.org. And if you go to that website and look at their blog, you can find out about all the things that they're doing. So do check that out. Mm. We have a community page on the Business Bunker website where we list all these things. So if you want to follow up with it, we will post that link on the community page of the Kent Business Radio website. You've got Santa boots. We've also had a new listener, Fresh Connective Coach, Fresh Connective on the Twitter, who says her name's Dawn and she's listening in. Welcome, Dawn. Thank you for that. Another new listener, Faith Star Pop.
Are they?
I don't know. Let me try.
Sound like sweeties.
Yeah.
I'm just playing with these boots that Paul's bought in. Look, he's got blue ones and red ones.
Mm. Girl.
I know you're riveted by that, but look.
Wow.
Little pizza.
Don't stand all over the donuts.
In my boots. Just trying out these boots, listener, in case you're wondering. I'll put them on the Twitter and you can see what they look like.
We've had Alex Waterton of FKeys.
Hello,
he's
Alex.
Listening in. Hello, Alex.
I've been hearing great things about his training, you know, every day.
Yeah? Oh, no, absolutely. It, really cool. One of the things I like that Alex does is every day he tweets out a tip on using spreadsheets or Excel databases or something like that. And some of the stuff's really brilliant. I was talking about this last week. He tweeted a tip for how to embed the time, a clock-based time, in a spreadsheet.
Mm.
And I did that, and it worked a treat. I had no application for it whatsoever, but I did it because it just looked so neat and cool. And I've now got a spreadsheet that tells the time,
which is
really fantastic.
Very good, isn't it? And you've learned so much, haven't
exactly.
you?
I have no practical application for it whatsoever, but I'm really proud of it. And I learnt that from Alex and FK, so thank you for that, Alex. Stopwatch Management, who are motor racing management team, Paul Clark and his guys down there.
Hello.
All listening. Right, I've got 34 more tweets.
Go on then.
I can't go through all
Rush
of them.
Rush through them. You're good at that, doing all that without breathing.
Yeah, I know. We'll come to those in a minute. I've got this that I want to read as well. New opportunity for creative businesses in East Kent. An exciting initiative entitled The School for Creative Startups has recently been launched in collaboration with Kent County Council and the Creative Foundation in Folkestone. This programme, starting in October, will offer a huge boost to the creative community in Kent and spark over 100 new creative businesses in the region. That's South East Kent. School for Creative Startups Kent is an interactive, hands-on, 8-month course delivering all the business know-how that creative people need to build a viable startup. Normally, the course costs £3,500 per student. This new programme will be free for Kent residents or those with existing or soon-to-be-established Kent-based startups. You can find out further details about the programme and how to apply by going to www.schoolforcreativestartups.com/Kent/press. That is schoolforcreativestartups.com/Kent/press. As always, we will put a link to that website on our website so that should you wish to find out more about starting a creative business and getting some help to do that, you can follow it up.
Sorry, I'm playing with my camera.
I know what you're doing.
I've got
playing.
These lovely pictures. Look, I'm just going back to, it's like having a doll's house, going back playing with these booties.
I've also had Adrian Kinney, aka Pet Services.
Hello, Adrian.
I've decided to title Adrian the Pet Ambulance Service.
Yes.
That's what I've decided.
I loved his story on the German Shepherd when, you know, the burglar, and that was very traumatic.
Yeah, I still can't get over Samson the parrot myself.
Well, I'm just playing with these boots because you know what you can do on my Camera Plus? I can make them into sort of give them a vignette or I can give them a 1963 look or a 1972 look. I'm having great fun. You carry on, Paul.
Okay.
I'm putting them out on Twitter.
People are
now.
Sending me links now to things.
Which you can't read.
Jackie at JJ Systems. No, I can. I've had to. Has asked me to give a plug for this, which is a winter charity ball in aid of the Emil Forey Foundation. And that's about reaching children through horses. And it's being held at Port Lynn Mansion and Gardens on November the 16th. Mm. There's a website for it, which is www.usfdressage. That's all one word, usfdressage.co.uk /winter-charity. I will put a link to that on the community pages on the website so that people can follow up and find out about that. And Steve from Venomtech's been on as well.
And James Gardner's gone mad in the USA now. He's tweeting.
He's up and running now.
He's awake. American coffee.
He's had a hit of maple syrup, has he? And some Link sausages, and he's up and running.
Well, you know how they keep pouring the coffee out there.
Yeah, exactly.
What's some coffee?
Yeah, coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah. So Steve from Venomtech's been on, and he's got a new mate called A4PGP, who's also listening in. I can't get to that for some reason, don't know why. But thank you, Steve. Steve's coming on the show soon, which we're looking forward to. Mm. Steve has venomous things.
Mm. Yes.
Spiders and snakes.
But he'll be sitting your side, I think.
He has promised me faithfully he's going to bring some really dangerous stuff with him.
Do you know that on the news driving in, seriously, this morning, there was
a
7-year-old.
Yeah, python.
Strangled by a python.
Yeah.
Very old.
Horrible.
Had gone through the
aircon. They lived above the pet shop, and the python escaped from the pet shop and came through the ventilation.
But what is the point of strangling?
Because that's how they eat their food. Yeah, but
did they then eat them?
I don't know. He probably got scared. That's how they eat their food. They crush it and then swallow it.
Well, I hope that he doesn't bring one of those in.
Oh, right. Steve's mate has just tweeted himself now. A4P Bio. Hi, Paul and Jules. Thank you for the introduction through Venom Research. First time listening and thoroughly enjoying the show. Thank you. I think they're in the same business as Steve at Venomtech there, in the biochemical business. So, thank you for listening in. Good stuff. I've got loads. Had a new
follower, Country Store. It's at Lillicos, LILLICOS, just following us as well. I don't know if they're listening in, but if they are, hello, Country Store at Lillicos.
I've also had a tweet. We're going to read this last one, then we're going to play a track, and then we're going to talk to our next guest.
Yes.
I've had a tweet from Not the Banker Dave on the Twitter.
Oh, I didn't dare open that because it was just a link, and I know.
It's Paul Norley.
Okay.
And Paul is trying to start a not-for-profit peer-for-peer lending scheme in the Maidstone area. And what he's saying is we are now anticipating our October launch, and anyone that wants to register their interest in earning 5% on their savings, please send him a DM on the Twitter. And the first 10 will get 6%.
Wow.
So if you want to get involved in a peer-to-peer lending thing... Now, Paul, come back.
I'll retweet that now. I know it's not... so many spams.
If you go to Not Bank of Dave... Sorry, let me get this right. His Twitter handle is Not Bank of Dave. That's all one word. If you then follow him, send him a DM. He'll have to follow you back in order to do that. Send him a DM, and then he will enter you... for the possibility of earning 6% interest in a peer-to-peer lending program.
So thank you
for that, Paul. Lisa Settle's been on.
Oh, she must be... She's swanned back from one of her holidays, then.
Yeah, so, blimey.
She's having a lovely time.
Unusual to be in the country, isn't it?
She was having a lovely time eating sort of cream teas and walking about in the heat.
She's pointed me at a blog on their website, which is their website is Telcare, TELCARE.co.uk, and you can go to their blog, and they've got a blog on there about trouble with the dog and bone. Telcare are a telephone company, but this seems to involve a dash hound some way at the Stoneleys Golf Centre in Ramsgate. The best thing to do is go and read the whole blog, because I can't read all of it now, but it looks interesting.
You say dash hound, I say dachshund.
You say what you like.
Which is the correct pronunciation.
Whatever I say.
We'll have to ask Adrian.
Whatever I say it is. I'm trying to rush through these because I want to speak to our next guest.
And very admirably you're doing it.
We'll come back to some more of those in a moment.
Okay.
What we're going to do now is...
Tunage.
We're going to play a bit of Tunage, a bit of Paul Simon, and then we're going to talk to
Lovely.
Andrew.
My old lover on the street last night. She seemed so glad to see me. I just smiled. And we talked about some old times, and we drank ourselves some beers. Still crazy after all these years. Oh, still crazy after all these years. I'm not the kind of man who tends to socialize. I seem to lean on old familiar ways. No fool for love songs that whisper in my ears. Still crazy after all these years. Oh, still crazy after all these years. Four in the morning, trapped out, yawning.
Provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
A bit of Paul Simon there. Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, the 6th of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and a delightful Jill Serkin. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome, for the first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Andrew Silvertone. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Paul.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Fantastic for you to join us, and thank you so much for that. Why don't you tell our listener a little bit about Andrew to start with,
okay,
and then we'll go on and talk about some of the things you've been doing just recently.
Okay. Hello, Jules.
Hello. Sorry, I was tweeting.
That's all right.
You're trying to catch me out, aren't you?
No.
As the shirker of the Business Bunker.
A little bit about me then, a quick synopsis then. I started out life on the mean streets of Royal Tunbridge Wells.
Wow.
As we like to call it.
You know, oh.
Playing the Wild West.
Absolutely, playing street hockey. And sport evolved, I guess, into what we call it now as inline hockey. And I spent a lot of time in America playing and representing Vancouver and California and whatnot, and a series of events.
I knew he was the sporty type.
Put me into that position somehow. And now, more recently, working with the British team, and we've had quite a bit of success over the last 4 years. But I guess
is that a sport that's growing in the UK? Where is it, inline hockey, these days?
It is growing. Yeah, it is. And I think, like all sports, they go through, you know, minority sports, they go through sort of ups and downs and different crazes, phases, etc. So, but now it's a pretty solid sport. It's the World Championships is well recognised, and we actually play. We have strong links with ice hockey as well now, which has made the sport just that bit stronger, I think.
Cool. Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I having grown up in Tunbridge Wells, I actually cut my teeth. Some businesses out there might even know me, and don't hold it against me, but I worked for Yellow Pages for 4 years, so dealing with some advertising programs.
Flogging adverts.
Yes, absolutely, although you know, I always like to think of myself as someone who's a bit conscientious and always, you know, trying to do the best thing for the customer. But that's probably where I cut my teeth in the corporate environment.
Right. But you'd have to be very tough to stay in that environment. It's a good background to come from.
For me, it was. I mean, actually, prior to that, I had my own sports development company, which was acquired. And then I decided to get some corporate experience, and it was the best thing for me, actually, because I got to understand business, not just from a corporate perspective, but understanding the businesses out there that I was dealing with. And yeah, absolutely. It was very, very interesting for me.
Cool. So what took you from Yellow Pages?
Well, my sports career and my sales background collided in consulting. I was asked by a company to come in and deliver a keynote on the winning mindset, and they wanted me to build this link between sports performance and business performance. And as I sat down to write this keynote, it occurred to me that it's not really clear what it is, and I think it's a bit of a myth, actually. Which I describe in the book, in that sense that I think that there's a bit of a misconception around how we make that link in business performance. And because for an athlete, it's easy. You know, you're a team, you know, you've got a gold medal that you're working towards, or you want to win the world championships. So there's immediately an emotional connection towards that goal. Mm. Yes, there are some things that leaders and athletes all have in common, but ultimately what organisations, big organisations, or even small businesses for that matter, the one thing they have to do, if there is one link, and that's building that emotional connection towards their end goal. And unless they do that, it's very difficult to get an engaged staff.
Mm, for sure. Mm. So step us through what you've done now. You've written a book.
Yep.
Called Managing the Mist.
Correct.
Tell us what the mist is and tell us a bit about the book.
Okay, so the mist is on different levels, I suppose, but you know what we know the mist for is, you know, the red mist.
Right,
you know,
so okay.
When we get the red mist, when we get angry, when we perhaps lose our rational thought in crisis. Mm. And also we get the white mist. I talk about the white mist a lot. That's not talked about as much, but it does resonate with people, you know. So it could be, for example, we're giving a keynote speech, or we're in an environment where we feel uncomfortable. It could be a networking event for that, you know, as an example. And we just feel ourselves withdrawing from it. We want to get out of that place. And this is really just a biological need. You know, without it, we would have been wiped out 100,000 years ago.
Right.
But the brain doesn't differentiate between these different environments. You know, Rory McIlroy's brain doesn't differentiate between putting for the championship or confronting a grizzly bear. It just reacts and responds in a way to protect him. So I think, you know, for leaders, for athletes, being able to manage that is the difference between winning and losing.
Absolutely. I can't remember the chap's name now. There was a famous book written many years ago by a golf coach.
Timothy Galloway?
It could be.
He does golf coach, but he's tennis coach background. Yeah.
Yes, that's the chap. Yeah, exactly the chap. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, well done.
See, pluck that out of the
ether. Absolutely. It's the way I set him up, Jules. Yeah. I read a book by a bloke. Oh, I know that.
All you said was
good. Yeah. No, absolutely. And he was talking about managing your brain in those kind of situations. And I guess that's partly what you're referring to here.
Yeah, and I think now with the, you know, the influx in, or our understanding of the brain through fMRI scanning, etc., in the last 15, 20 years, we know more about the brain than we have done in its entire existence. But people like Timothy Galloway, who's, you know, talking about this in the 70s, Plato said, you know, people have innate knowledge, they just need to be asked the right question. And I don't think we do that enough in business. I don't think we engage with our people, even, you know, apprentice level, graduate level, and getting them really engaged with the business. So one of the rules I talk about in the book is around asking and not telling them. And I think even more so in today's society, really, because the people that are coming on board in business now want to add value. They want to be heard. And if they don't, they become disengaged.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So give us some pointers from the book. You've written this book. It's called Managing the Mist. When was it first published? How long has it been out?
It's been out 2 months.
Right, okay.
So, available on Amazon.
Jules is waving a copy of it around. We've all got our own signed copies. Well, I don't know what happened to mine.
It's here.
Oh, have you got it?
Don't have a paddy. It's here waiting for it. It's been signed. I made Andrew sign it.
I know, but it's...
You've just
given to me. It doesn't say my name.
Oh,
I'll sort it out
after the show. Don't get all curmudgeonly.
It's Jules. She's trying to fob me off with stuff. Sorry. Anyway,
do you want some almonds?
No, thank you. No, I want to talk to Andrew.
Go on then.
Give us some highlights from the book and the kind of things that will inspire people to start thinking about this and get an idea for what the book's about.
Yeah, so the book is aimed at helping people develop winning mindsets and creating high-performance teams. Mm. And I believe there is a methodology that I share in the book around creating high-performance teams. In fact, it's more around creating a high-performance culture that we can achieve even more then. So that's clearly set out in the book. It's also an attempt to try and make that link between performance in sports and business. Mm. So I talk about the three principles of a winning mindset. So the first two-thirds of the book really are aimed at the reader as a leader, if you like, but even, I've a load of students reading it who are really enjoying it, but to get them to self-reflect a little bit about their own, you know, motivation, what gets them out of bed. So the first part is very much about their self-awareness and getting them clear on what they want. And then we move into how to stay in the zone, right. You know, manage emotions, thoughts, feelings in crisis.
Tell us just, because the zone is something that gets talked about occasionally, and I'm not entirely sure that people that haven't been involved in sport or anything always understand what that is and its relevance to everything else, and it is relevant to everything else. So tell us a little bit about the zone as well.
Well, it's athletes will describe it as this place where they are just completely in the moment. Mm. You know, they don't have any recollection of anything that's going on outside, and they're completely focused on the job in hand, and they're being creative, resourceful, and doing things at a subconscious level. Mm. And there's a bit of a two-way street as well that's taking place between the what we'd call the executive centre in the brain, the prefrontal cortex, and the subconscious, where this kind of relationship is happening simultaneously, where I'm constantly thinking about what's going on around me, but at the same time I'm working instinctively as well. So it's all happening very naturally. What happens is that if we see a threat, if we fear failure or something happens, you know, quickly, the subconscious also responds instinctively and can respond irrationally. Mm. So it's how we make sense of these threats that are around us. If we're going into the championship match, or if we're, you know, at the 18th hole, whatever it is, or a leader making a quick decision on direction of the company, it's how they make sense of these feelings that they're getting and work on strategies to combat them.
So it's basically people are getting into a mindset where they operate almost instinctively or intuitively without having to overanalyze everything they do, but do it in a way that's conducive to success.
It is. And what I talk about in the book is staying in the zone rather than getting in the zone.
Right,
so
okay.
all the time we're trying to get in the zone, we're constantly trying to do it, and therefore we're not in it. So
right, yeah, absolutely.
It's counterintuitive in that sense. But so it's about staying in the zone. So and the only way to really stay is to start really thinking about the sort of things that may knock us out of the zone, you know, that may trip us up or get in our own way.
Right.
So such as fear.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as I said earlier, these are biological responses. So
is this the old fight and flight thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you start to get butterflies, or you start to, just drop things, cock up things, basically.
Yeah, you know, and some butterflies, a little bit of adrenaline is useful. Mm. You know, it can be useful. It makes us realise we're alive and we want to do it. You know, if I'm working with an athlete and he says, actually, I'm completely relaxed. I'm not, you know, I think, well, there's a problem here, because you have some sort of fear to get you in the moment. But it's when it goes beyond that, and then we get a release of cortisol, and then we get anxiety, and we don't want to be there, and we want to get the hell out, or we become aggressive.
In a corporate setting, in a non-sporting setting, that is something that you see, isn't it?
Yeah.
When people are out of their comfort zone, either out of the zone, they can get aggressive, awkward or difficult for no good reason. You think, and then you have to hit them with a rubber handle.
I see that at the beginning of most scoff and quaff shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
your show's well known for it.
Exactly.
Being out of the zone and uncontrolled and aggressive.
I better watch myself.
Absolutely. Right.
And I think, you know, you hit it on the head there, that this again, this biological response that's aided us for centuries is not conducive in the boardroom.
Yeah,
you know, it's not going to help that leader, CEO, MD, or whatever, make those rational decisions or get his or her people engaged in a direction of that business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a fascinating subject. We could talk about it for an awful long time.
Yeah.
We're fast running out of time on the show. Yeah. So give us a shout out for the title of the book, the website of the book, your website and your Twitter handle, or any other thing that you want to tell us about that people can find out more about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the book is called Managing the Mist, How to Develop Winning Mindsets and Create High-Performing Teams. The website is managingthemist.com, so that will talk through the methodology, the services, etc., and what I provide to organisations and businesses. And you can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Sillito or Managing the Mist. I've got two Twitter accounts there.
S for sugar, I, LLITOE, Sillito.
Thank you.
Cool. All those links are on the Business Bunker website, and they will continue to be on the Business Bunker website. If anybody wants to follow up, read the book. That's the best thing. Go and look at the website. The book is available in paperback. Is it also a download?
It is on Kindle, yep.
Yep, so you can get it as a download on Kindle, or you can buy the paperback, which is a very nice-looking book.
It's
in paperback.
Panama Press as well.
So do follow up with that. Have a look at managingthemist.com or .co.uk?
.com.
Managingthemist.com and check out with that. Andrew, for the moment, thank you very much for that. It's an absolute pleasure to speak to you. We've only got a few minutes of the show left, so do stay with us and finish off with some of this mayhem. And I think you can do another couple of emails, Jules, while
I'm reading
gather
Andrew's
the Twitter
book
together.
Now.
Oh, are you? Well, I'll let you read that because you need that. You need that book more than you need anything else.
I was actually alluding to you at the beginning of the Scotland Quadrant.
No.
But there's a lovely quote here from Michael Jordan on page 116, I think it is. I failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Michael Jordan. There, just opening the book, and you find that.
Yep.
Doctor Who, Paul Andrews.
There.
Nemesis is set to patrol Kent's Southern Model Show.
It's just sorry to interrupt, but Peter Capaldi's got the new role, hasn't he?
What do you think?
I so wish he'd do that as Malcolm Tucker. I really do.
Maybe he will.
Yeah, unlikely.
I'd start watching it if he did.
Yeah,
it's quite exciting though, isn't it?
It's cool.
An unusual.
I think he'll be good. I think he'll be really good. Sorry to interrupt your Dalek story.
That's right. You like interrupting me.
Yeah, it's what I'm good
at. And we all make mistakes as the Daleks are climbing off the dustbin. Anyway, excitement surrounding the identity of the 12th Doctor who may be at fever pitch across the UK. Doctor Who may be at fever pitch across the UK. However, in Kent, it's about time to get even higher. Fans of the Sci-Fi hero are in for a real treat when the Time Lord's nemesis comes to the county this autumn in the TV show's 50th anniversary year. That's how old you are, Paul Andrews. Remember, what's his name, Hartnell?
William Hartnell.
William Hartnell. Organisers of the Southern Model Show are thrilled to announce that the Daleks will be patrolling the Model Festival, which is being staged at Headcorn Aerodrome. The Southern Model Show returns to the county on September the 14th and the 15th, and the organisers are Heritage Events, and they say the show is going to return with a bang and have one of the most recognised villains of the stage and screen appear, so it's sure to generate...
Oh, you're there as well, Jules,
I was just waiting for that. In fact, I was going to say you, of course, but you
got in
first. Yeah,
I got in first, didn't I?
Yeah, because I'm reading, I can't...
Because I'm in the zone and you're not.
No, because I'm reading and I'm in the zone of reading.
Yeah, now you're in red mist and I'm in white mist.
The news of the appearance in Kent comes hot on the heels of the announcement yesterday that actor Peter Capaldi will be taking over running the TARDIS. And there's also a TV special celebrating the half-century landmark, which is due to be aired in November this year. And it'll include some past and present faces, including the return of the Daleks. So excitement for all things Doctor Who is there. So that is the Southern Model Show. Who is that? When is it? It's the 50th anniversary year.
But you said 15th and something.
It's the 14th and 15th, Paul Andrews, and it's organised by Heritage Events.
Fantastic, thank you for that.
Must bring a highlighter pen with me next week.
Yeah, Paul from Not the Banker Dave has reminded me.
Another Paul?
No, it's the one I was talking about earlier.
How many Pools have we got?
Everyone's called Paul, I told you. It's National Paul Day.
Yeah,
I told you my story about the cricket the other day,
didn't
I?
Yeah, that was odd.
That was just really weird.
Yeah, you told me last week.
Yeah. Not a Banker David said that there is indeed a rule about 80%. It's called the Pareto Principle. It is indeed, yes, well remembered.
You love
Paul.
A Dorito, don't you?
Pareto.
Oh, sorry.
Pareto, yeah. Can't eat it. Not a whole one, anyway. Only 80% of it. Boom, boom.
I like that. That's funny. You've made me laugh. Puddingstone Grange showroom doors open for viewings and reservations on Tuesday the 6th of August. What is Puddingstone Grange, you ask? It's a state.
What's it called in Stonegrange, George?
It's the state-of-the-art dementia care centre.
Is it really?
And it's opening its showroom doors to the public for the first time on Tuesday today, actually. And it's just near Plumstead Common on Plumstead Common Road. And it's a flagship development by Avanti Care and Support. And it'll be fully opening in October. So if you want to know more about this amazing new care home, it's www.avantecaresupport, that's A-V-A-N-T-E, caresupport.org.uk.
Brilliant.
Well done, them.
Brilliant. Stopwatch Hospitality, who are known on the Twitter as Stopwatch Suite, as in S-U-I-T-E, have kindly tweeted a link to the Top Gear programme that I was referring to earlier on the manufacturing thing. And they've tweeted a link to the thing that Top Gear did on vehicle manufacturing in the UK. So thank you for that, guys. What else have we got here? Blimey. Oh, A4P Bio, who our new listeners introduced by Venom Tech, have given us an update. They say that A4P are expert in bioanalysis and logistics and have a shipping need. Get in touch by emailing info@pbio.com.
Are you in the zone, Paul Andrews?
No, I'm not. I'm clearly not.
Can you read the book, Managing the Mist?
Yeah, I'll have a quick flick through a couple of chapters.
Not Gorillas in the Mist, you understand? Managing the Mist.
Absolutely.
You'd probably be better with Gorillas in the Mist.
Probably. It's info@a4pbio.com, and they are experts in bioanalysis and logistics.
Do love a logistic, don't you?
Yeah, that shipping stuff.
Do you know Malcolm Muggeridge?
Yeah.
Well, David Muggeridge is
no relation whatsoever.
On money management, and Louise Micklewright. They're going to be talking about social media and money management, and that is at the Kent Creative Live website. You can find out details. That's kentcreativelive.org. And also Kent in Victor Chamber Summer Barbecue. What better for a summer barbecue than the inspirational grounds of Canterbury Cathedral? So this is on Thursday the 15th of August. It's 12 to 2. And barbecue lunch, loads of networking, £25 plus VAT, or if you're a member, £20. Book a place, contact Paul Brooks, 01233 503 838, or of course contact events at kentinvictorchamber.co.uk, and cool. It'll be on the Bunker website after the show.
I've had a tweet that says great photo, so that's probably something you've put out, I suspect it's rubbery.
I've put out lots of pictures. It was one, but the green thing was almost picking Paul's nose.
Right, okay. It says great photo, truly interactive radio, good to hear stories of other UK manufacturers. So thank you for that. Tunbridge Farmers Market. Steve has come on.
Stevie Wood.
He went, hold your breath, your second listener's here.
I'm a bit annoyed with him, really, because he was too busy to come on my show today. But here he is, lolling on his backside, listening to the Business Bunker.
Well, he can't listen to two shows in a day, can he?
Well.
And we only have one listener, so he's doubled it to two. So that's
very
cool.
Very good. I expect he's eating jars of chilli.
He probably is. Oh, blimey.
Just pause.
Yeah, read some more emails while I'm.
Business owners have the chance to race down to Brands Hatch Circuit to meet rising star Scott Malvern in the Stopwatch Hospitality Suite and to see his car up close. He's a multiple champion who's twice been nominated for the prestigious McLaren Auto Sport. He's got won championships with that Jenson Button has won, and he's broken many records and surpassed the likes of Button, Mark Webber, and even Michael Schumacher. Crucially, he's been awarded Rising Star status by the British Racing Drivers Club. The session programme for August the 9th, so that's this weekend, must be Friday, chance to race Brands Hatch on a race simulator. Listen to Scott being interviewed at the circuit, join him with a Q&A session, all sorts of other goodies. This is an invite open to businesses only. Choice of sessions throughout the day, Friday, August the 9th, beginning with breakfast at Brands. For info on this, you need to go to contact Scott's manager, Paul Clark, on 07956885851. And that's 07956885851. Paul Clark, or Google, that'll come up on the Brands Hatch this Friday the 9th.
We've obviously started since Andrew was on now a theme of sport and business, because I've also had a tweet from Stopwatch Hospitality. How can you get behind the scenes in motorsport and have it work for your business? Go to stopwatchhospitality.com to find out. So people picking up on that theme of the crossover between sport and business. Brilliant. And I've also had a new
jogging
listener.
Jogging while they answer their emails.
Yeah. London CLC Collective.
Right, they're new.
Sounds like something run by Wolfie Smith, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, come the glorious day, brothers and sisters. Come the glorious day.
The Wolfie!
The London CLC Collective are saying, can you give us a shout-out for Gemilo, G-E-M-I-L-O. They are Gemstone Jewellery in Whitstable. And their website is Gemilo, gemilo.co.uk.
Tell them to contact me. I'll put them in my weekly business column in the Whitstable Times.
And I've also had Christian Jackson, who says, get IT qualified in Whitstable, in Kent, in Essex, in London. IT services for individuals, schools and business. And their website is getitqualified, all one word, .co.uk.
There's a wedding fair Friday 30th of August. It's at the Burlington Hotel, Folkestone, and it's 4 to 9, and that will be on the bunker after the show. Wedding fair, 30th of August.
Cool. Just to let you know, we're fast running out of time. There's a whole series of breakfast networking meetings being run by the Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce. Breakfast networking with business, which includes a full English breakfast, and it runs from a reasonably civilised 8 a.m. To 9:30 a.m., and chamber members are £15 and non-members are £20. And the guest speaker is Damien Green MP. And that is on Friday the 13th of September at Eastwell Manor Hotel in Ashford. And there's also breakfast networking manana tomorrow, Wednesday the 7th of August at Maidstone at the McCure Hell. It is McCure Hotel, formerly known as the Great Danes at Hollingbourne. Yeah. Thursday the 8th of August, that's this Thursday, at the Abbots Barton in Canterbury. I popped in there the other day, but Janice wasn't in.
The tall one?
Yeah, the tall one. She wasn't
there. She
probably
knew you were on your way.
I was going to the cricket, and I was early, so I popped in for a quick
drink. Was that where you saw Paul Andrews?
It was indeed, actually, yeah. Wednesday the 21st of August, day before my birthday, anybody thinking of saving up, is in the Holiday Inn in Chatham. Friday the 6th of September at Gravesend at the Best Western Manor Hotel, or Thursday the 12th of September at the Tunbridge Wells Mercure Hotel. All of those are breakfast networking meetings courtesy of Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, and you can find out all about them or book your place on any of those by going to the kentandvictorchamber.co.uk website. Ta!
Ta! There are mock interviews at Folks and Girls School. These will be held on the 11th of October. It's for all year 13 girls, and they're asking local business people with experience of interviewing if they would be available to generously support the day. If possible, could you stay all day to do this, or if not, a morning? And the day involves 12 young people being seen by each interviewer for 10 minutes for a generic interview question, followed by 5 minutes of positive feedback and hints and tips for improving your interview technique. If you can do that, please contact Sean, S-H-A-U-N, Moyes, M-O-Y-S, on 01795-411-614,
01795-411-614. Cool. Thank you for that. We're just about at the end of the show. I'd like to wrap up neatly by just reminding everybody of how they can contact the guests that we've had on today. So that'll give them time to get their brain in order and remember what their websites are, which I'm going to ask them in a minute. But from myself and Jules, thank you so much for listening to the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday the 6th of August. It's been an absolutely pleasure talking to both you listeners. We've had loads of new listeners, and that's great. Thank you for keep recommending us and keep talking to us. We love you all. You're brilliant. But you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Serkin. Joining us in the studio, Mr. Paul Gardner of Component Force. Thank you, Paul. And Mr. Andrew Silito, top inline skater, author of Managing the Mist.
You should have seen him skate in here.
I know, it was awesome, wasn't it? It was to behold. I played ice hockey once.
Oh.
Only once.
Here we go.
Yeah.
And?
I got sent off. How do you get sent off in ice hockey? It's almost impossible, isn't it?
Well, I broke my leg on ice. I'm not keen. Okay. I've broken both legs. One horse, one ice.
I played for the Streatham Redskins. Blimey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good,
not,
though, isn't it?
Yeah, not for long, though. Only a couple of goes. I couldn't skate, that was a problem. Anyway, you've been listening to the Business Funker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Coming up on Chatting Radio the rest of the day, we've got a packed lineup of shows. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we have the ubiquitous Kevin Cam with Extra Milk, followed by the latest favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with the Craig Avery Show at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
And then at 9 o'clock tonight, Jenny Andrews with all that's great in unsigned, new, up-and-coming music on the New Potatoes Show. Thank you for listening to us. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, have a fantastic week, all you businesses in Kent, and we'll be back soon. Cheers.
Bye.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
City dweller, successful fella, thought to himself, oops, I've got a lot of money. Come!